You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. How are you, man?
Hey, Donnie. What's going on?
Good. This will be our final broadcast of 2023, so we appreciate everybody climbing aboard. We'll have a lot of social media today. We're going to have our top five today, and there's a lot to recap last night. I'm just confused, Anthony. I don't know what's going on in this sport. Somebody's going to have to sit down and explain to me, like I'm a five-year-old, how the Buffalo Sabres could give up 9 goals on Tuesday to Columbus, embarrass themselves. We talked about it with EJ on Wednesday. Maybe it's time for a coaching change. Nothing works. The Toronto Maple Leafs are a great team, climbing up the standings in the Atlantic Division. Dangerous team, and Buffalo puts a 9 spot up on them? I need clarity. I need an explanation. I need to know how these things happen.
Well, it's a fun sport. It's very confusing. Art O'Cal had a great stat about that, which I have to go find now on Twitter, about how rare and odd that situation is. Yes, it's the 14th time in NHL history, first since Detroit in 1983, that a team has allowed 9 or more goals in a game, then scored 9 or more goals in their next game. That's courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Now, and it was against a team that you said is one of the better teams in hockey.
Yeah, but they're also not a tight, well goaltending machine either. You know, so it's not so each game isolated isn't that crazy, right? Because Buffalo hasn't been a great team. Their goaltending's kind of been a bit of in flux. So they give up 9 to Columbus. I was a little disturbed that it was at home, but hey, you know, it happens. But then it turned around the very next night, and that's kind of how Buffalo's been. You take a look, you know, they come into Madison Square Garden, they beat the Rangers, and there's other nights they're a complete no-show. I just think the final answer to this is there is parity in this league like nowhere else, I think, in sports, where it just, you talk about any given night, it's literally any given night. And we saw it with the San Jose Sharks, who were the worst team in the NHL, and all of a sudden they start scoring goals, and they beat the Devils, they beat the Islanders, they almost beat the Rangers, you know, so that's supposed to represent the worst. The Ducks are there too, and yet we've seen the Ducks play great hockey for stretches and beat some really good teams. So there really isn't that big a difference night to night between the worst team and the best team. Now, over time, you're going to get exposed. Your weaknesses are going to become frayed, and you'll end up losing, and the better teams, the cream will fly to the top over an 82 game schedule. But on any given night, who knows? Honestly, who in God's name knows what's going to happen once they drop the puck?
I will say this one was a little more surprising to me. To say that Buffalo can't beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, like you said, anybody can win on any given night. To give up 9 goals, and to look as flat, I believe Austin Matthews said it's the worst game he's ever seen the team play since he's been there.
Yeah.
There haven't been many. I can't imagine there was that many blowout losses that he's been a part of just because he's such a good talent and the team has been good since he's been there. So that says something. It's definitely something that they have to clean up. And look, we've talked about it, Don. With every one of the teams that we have in our top five that we think are one of the best teams in hockey, they've had games this year where you say, wow, they look awful. Yeah. And that just shows you there's not a Boston Bruins this year of they're going to run the table and they're going to make it all the way to the playoffs and then see what happens. And we saw what happened to the Bruins in the playoffs. All of these teams can be beat because they all have flaws.
See, that thing, over an 82-game stretch, you are going to figure it out if you're good, and you'll get exposed if you're not. Now, you get to the playoffs, you get rid of the, as Michael Kay would say, the flotsam and jetsam of it, but still, you're still talking about 16 of the 32 teams, so there are going to be some teams that are better than others.
Tell me when you're ready.
You can't have a bad week. You know, you saw the
what
Rangers.
Was that? Did you hear that, Don?
Yeah, it sounded like Michael Kay was trying to infiltrate our Game Misconduct podcast. He's never been on this podcast.
I always wanted to be on this podcast.
Wow, this is surprising. How are you?
I'm great.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
It really is.
How was your vacation?
It was really good. Really good. Missed you guys, but it was great.
It looks like you're really enjoying yourself on the cruise and on television since you've come back.
You got tan, didn't you, Kayster?
Yeah, you could see it.
Better makeup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Now, this obviously was a little crossing of the wires, but let's take advantage of it if you have 30 seconds.
Of course.
I don't know if you saw that the tweet that was sent out on our mass text messages last night from Nielsen talking about the ratings in the five major sports counting MLS. Did you see this?
I did see it. Yep.
And I just want to be able to punch it up here. I wasn't expecting to talk about it. I don't know if you have it there, Anthony.
I got it somewhere. Good thing this is edited.
Yeah. Well, we'll edit it. But just basically that just by a little bit. No, football
20K,
was just
20K more people watch NHL games than MLB games on average. 398K, 378.
So it's like, so obviously football was way ahead of everybody else, embarrassing everybody else. Then it was basketball, hockey, baseball, and MLS. And I was shocked by it. What was your initial reaction? And what do you, I'm a hockey guy, you're a baseball guy. As a baseball guy, what do you take from those numbers?
Well, I was a little bit surprised. Obviously, you're never surprised how football dominates. I mean, when I looked, I think, what was it, 7 million, Anthony? Something like that?
9, I think.
9 million.
Yeah, so, 9 million.
The only thing I could figure out is that baseball's double the games, so it's going to be spread out. There are some games that aren't going to mean as much. In hockey, there's 82 games, and baseball is 162. But it still surprised me that hockey did average more than baseball. I think it's going to get worse, Don and Anthony, because we're getting back to the haves and have-nots time in baseball, where there are a certain number of teams that can afford players and others can't. I think you're going to go into this season, and there's not going to be, there aren't going to be every single team that's going to have a chance to get into the playoffs, and I think that's a bad thing, and that certainly does drop viewership quite a bit.
Yeah, because the one thing the NHL and even the NBA have is that there are teams that aren't very good that still might be able to sneak into the playoffs and make those games meaningful, where there's going to be a chunk of baseball teams that they're out of it by June and there's really no reason to watch.
And it is weird, though, because the Yankees, we average 700,000-800,000 viewers a game. So that means if you take out teams like the Yankees, how much lower is the average then?
Yeah,
it's not good.
I'm sure hockey, same thing. I mean, you take the Rangers and the Flyers and like some of the bigger market teams that do ratings too. I mean, it's a regional sport; it's going to happen. But I was just taken aback by. I mean, good for hockey that it's kind of climbing up there. And you can't even use the app excuse because yes, there's a lot of teams like the Yankees who are putting games on Amazon Prime and all that. But the NHL too, with the new deal with ESPN, there's a bulk of games that are on ESPN Plus that are streamed. And football streaming their games on Thursday. So everybody's kind of in the same boat there. But I thought it was interesting. I'm very surprised you came on. This is good. This is out of nowhere. Some lines got crossed, and all of a sudden I'm hearing a voice from the past because we haven't worked together in a while.
Not, and this was nice. Not the real distant past, though.
Well, like your voice from beyond.
But when you see somebody every single day, or you talk to them every day, and they're a part of your life 5 days a week,
I did wonder though, even if you've missed me, I've articulated that to Anthony.
Here's the honest
truth. Yeah, that was a tough text. Yeah.
It's 2 weeks today. The last time we spoke, so that's a long time for when you see somebody every day,
right?
And it's not the summer.
I'll say this: Don nailed Michael that it was you with a 1-point play on the Rams.
I kept it hidden
because I knew you would want Don to say his first, and then you would make your pick.
I didn't know, but I guessed about that game. Is that, I tuned in the second half because I had to do the hot stove last night, and tuned in the second half, and it's a blowout. But then all of a sudden, there's a block punt.
Yeah.
It makes it 30-22, and I said, you just watch.
It was a sweat, no doubt.
They're going to score another touchdown, and they're going to lose by one, and we're both going to lose. But I was in the unenviable situation, Don. When I saw you made a 3-point pick, I said, I got to root against myself.
Yeah, I hate that.
1-point pick. Yeah. This competition has ruined football for me. I said to myself, I've got to lose this pick because he's got to have a three. If he gets a 3-pointer, then I'm really got a lot of pressure on me to pick a 3-pointer right.
It is killer. It's terrible. But it was. I knew it was you because it was because of the 1-point play and because it was the Rams and you had won with the Rams the week before. So I had a feeling it was you. Plus, Peter's on Brazilian time, and he probably didn't even know who was playing. So
the guy cannot stay off social media, by the way.
I don't get it, man. Just take it all. He's got a problem.
Just send the pictures of Natalie. That's all we want to see.
Oh, well, that's another.
All right.
Well, Michael, listen, Merry Christmas. Enjoy your holiday and your new year.
Before, but yes, Merry Christmas to you and Nancy and the kids. That's awesome. You too, Anthony.
Thank you, Michael. Same to you and the family.
Oh, that's awesome. It was fun talking to him. And I guess we were just talking about that to bring up the numbers that the NHL is outrating the NFL, the MLB. And we can make excuses and why this and why that. I mean, there's reasons for everything. I don't think anybody is ever going to suggest that baseball is not as popular as hockey in the United States. That's silly. The way I look at it is it just shows you how this sport is growing. It also shows you, Anthony, that moving back to ESPN and ABC was huge for this sport. I mean, NBC did a great job, but it just was not in the rotation for sports fans. NBC Sportsnet and all that compared to what ESPN brings to the table when it comes to sports. And I know we both work at ESPN, so we're biased, but it's a fact that when you're a sports fan, ESPN is going to be on your radar. NBC Sportsnet, or going back to Versus or OLN, whatever, it was not. So now you've entered a platform that is in within reach of the sports fan, and the sport's been good, and we're just talking about all the goals that are being scored and all that. I think it's a real good direction moving forward for the NHL. So I didn't look at that as much of a negative of baseball the way I think Michael probably did, a little taken back by that, but more of a positive of where the NHL is growing in the United States and will continue to grow, which is really a good thing.
I was stunned that you mentioned his name and he appeared.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like,
right?
You knew that I had a chance to have to record with Michael, but I didn't tell you that he was there. I didn't say he's connecting right now. And you said his name and he heard you because I looked over and I saw that he was connected and it just worked out beautifully. So that's a nice little Christmas present for everyone.
And I can't even remember what I was referring to what he says. Well, because so much has happened, I forgot what we were talking about. But anyway, so Buffalo, just any given night, kind of crazy stuff.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a real problem in New Jersey with the Devils. I don't think it can be ignored. Last night was disturbing in a lot of different ways. Falling behind as quickly as they did. Schmid gets pulled. And then Vanecek plays well. I mean, he makes 20 straight saves, I think it was, to close out the second period. Devils come back from 2-0 down, 3 unanswered goals to take a 3-2 lead, which is kind of their MO. No lead safe because they're so good offensively. But they're so irresponsible with the puck, Anthony. They turn it over so much. I mean, a lot of this is they're not great defensively because their forwards aren't very good defensively. And you're telling me a team like that's going to make a run in the playoffs when they're that irresponsible with the puck? And I like Jack Hughes. I think he's one of the best players in the NHL. But he tries to do too much, and he plays with the puck at his own blue line, turns it over. It cost him a game against Philadelphia when he coughed it up for the overtime goal by Tippett. Same thing last night, turning the puck over, creating all these odd man rushes because there's just no defensive responsibility. And Edmonton walks into the third period, scores 4 unanswered goals, and wins 6-3. Scored 3 goals in a minute and 9 seconds. So you can look at it. We had Ray Ferraro on the Michael Kay Show. He thinks that a goaltender is needed more than anything else, and he's probably right. But they need more than just that. They need sound defense, and they've got to, you know, Lindy Ruff's got to sit down with these forwards and say, you can't try to make things happen all the time. There's another side of the puck that has to be taken care of defensively. You got no hope if you're not going to do that.
Well, listen, Don, I don't want to, this is probably me being a little presumptuous, and it's very early. And it's early in this deal. By the way, you printing Luther's 95 Reasons? Like, what do we got going on back there?
Well, you can hear that.
Oh no, just very slightly.
I got a game tonight. I'm doing Rangers Oilers. I'm printing out my stats. I got to multitask, man. There's not a lot of time in the day. I got a case show to do. I got twins running around upstairs. No, not in school today. I had kickboxing to do.
How was kickboxing?
Got to multitask.
We'll talk about it later. How are you?
I'm like Travis Kelce. Two things at once, man.
Did you get cinnamon rolls from Nancy?
No.
Okay. Are you going to nail them to the door? The notes or anyway?
No.
I wonder if the Devils are going to question the Lindy Ruff deal. Now, he's a great defensive coach. There's no question about that. But it seems like every move they've made so far this year, the defense hasn't gotten better. And the goaltending is a big problem. Vanecek and Schmid are not going to be able to get this team to where they want to go in terms of making the next step and possibly making an Eastern Conference final or a cup final. And they're struggling. And look, we see it with Connor McDavid. And Connor McDavid heaped a ton of praise on all the Hughes brothers, specifically Jack. But we see it in Edmonton. You could have one of the best players in hockey, and if you don't have the defense and goaltending to back it up, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose games more often than not, and that's what we're seeing here.
See, that's the thing, is that this is not basketball, okay, where you could be driven by one or two stars. They're going to figure it out, outscore the opponent, you go home. There's a lot of other things besides scoring that helps you win in the National Hockey League. You need good goaltending. You have to be defensive, have defensive, the ability to defend. I guess I'm trying to spit it out there. Defensive responsibility in order for you to be able to go out there and win. So it's not just give me the puck and I'm going to score and we're going to win 6-5 every single night. It doesn't work that way.
Well, look, it's defensive structure, right? Look at what Laviolette did by implementing the 1-3-1 with the Rangers. It's basically the same team outside of a couple of bottom six guys, yet they've managed to find a way to win more faceoffs, be better in their defensive zone, and get out in a better way. Now, Lindy Ruff made that Devil team last year was very good defensively. They weren't having games like this. Actually, you know where it showed up? It showed up in the Rangers series, where they would get blown out, and then they would blow teams out. But you don't want that to become a habit. You don't want that to become something that you say, all right, well, this is something that we now have to deal with day in and day out. Like they had now, Dougie Hamilton not being there, huge, huge loss. Obviously, the backbone of that defense, but they should be better than the way they're playing.
And you brought up, you just answered the question with the Rangers series. Well, what's the Rangers' problem? You know, the Rangers, especially last year, they didn't have the defensive structure. They freelanced way too much. They were way too reliant on the power play. And then when that became a 5-on-5 series, the Devils were able to take advantage. Then the Devils went up against the Carolina team that's way more responsible defensively. Didn't allow them to do that, and they got beat in 5 games. Like, it's all, you know, styles make fights. That's kind of way it is in the NHL. That was a good matchup for the Devils. It was a bad matchup for the Rangers. We maybe didn't really understand it at the time, but looking back at it, that's clearly was the case. That's why they go out and they get Peter Laviolette with the 1-3-1 and creating something that's got a little bit more structure to it. So Rangers hopefully will learn from that. The Devils didn't. You know, the Devils kind of doubled down in that way by giving Timo Meier the money, and he finally scored last night. Good on him. But that's not the problem. The problem is, you know, you lose Graves, you lose Severson, you're bringing in young defensemen who are going to make these types of mistakes, because it's easy for them to go out there and freelance and play offensively. It's the defensive game that sometimes takes a little longer to do. And Lindy's a defensive guy. He was a defenseman in the NHL. He was a defensive coach with the Rangers. So it's a little surprising that these lapses are taking place here. But you make a good point. They had to give him the contract based on how great last year was. But I don't think they're going to make a change now, because that's a lot of money for that franchise to eat. But, you know, I watched that game last night, and I'm like, you know, it's not a trade or two away. It's a style. It's a system that's really lagging there. And I thought the same thing you did. This seems like a coaching problem as much as it is a personnel problem, and that's not a place you want to be in the National Hockey League.
No, and it was a problem before last year. Lindy Ruff was in danger of losing his job. That team had talent, and everyone thought that they needed to be better. They turned it around last year, and they thought, this is the turnaround. You get Timo Meier, you have Dougie Hamilton, you have Heischer, you have Hughes. You think, okay, this is going to be a team that's now going to be competing for a playoff spot year in and year out and win a couple of rounds. And look, there's still plenty of season to go. With Hughes and Heischer, anything can happen, but right now they're on the outside looking in, and if they keep playing like this, it's going to be very hard for them to climb back into the Metro race.
Now, before we get to our top five, we should mention Alexander Ovechkin gets off the schneid. Hadn't scored in 13 games. He picked the perfect time to break it by scoring in overtime to beat Columbus in that game and score his 6th goal of the season. Maybe this can be what kind of breaks Ovechkin loose here. He's not played poorly, but he hasn't played to the level we're used to him seeing, and maybe seemed to step too slow, but maybe this is the type of goal that'll kind of get things going. 40, that ship's probably sailed, but to get 30-plus, I think, still can happen, but he's got to get going here. Maybe that's the game to get it going for him.
So that's what you want to talk about in this game?
Well, we do have
not
what was
Elvis
a very...
Fight,
I wanted to get that out of the way, get your comment, and then the whole... it was a very interesting little skirmish there in the goal mouth with Tom Wilson, which I think that was more reputation than anything. Didn't you? I mean, I don't want to say it was an innocent play.
100%.
But,
absolutely. You're 100% right.
But it's not like we haven't seen those types of things before. I mean, it was just it was a collision in goal, but it was just like you see who it is and all of a sudden you're enraged because it's him.
Yeah, I think it's certainly on reputation. I don't think he did anything particularly wrong. That being said, knowing the way Tom Wilson plays, I'm sure that something happened to Elvis Merzlikins at one point in his career as a result of Tom Wilson. And look, it's the visual that the Capitals got after the goal of everyone staring at Merzlikins as he went off the ice is very funny. You got to be able to back it up. And the Blue Jackets said that the Merzlikins penalty cost them because that's what cost them the game. And Ovechkin finally put one in.
And it's interesting because Merzlikins' name is being bounced around as a possible candidate to go to New Jersey. We'll see if that happens. But the more Washington continues to win, they got the Strome overtime goal against the Islanders. They get the Ovechkin overtime goal last night against Columbus. So they're starting to win now as they are sitting there as the first wild card team with 38 points, Washington. But the Columbus is out of it. So where is Merzlikins going to go? Is it going to go to New Jersey? Is he going to go to Carolina? It'll be interesting to see how Columbus moves forward. They're not out of it yet, but at the same time, I don't think they're making the playoffs, but will they make that kind of a deal with a divisional opponent?
It's got to make sense for both, right? And it's tough. Merzlikins has his moments. I wouldn't be so nervous to trade him away if I was Columbus to a division rival.
Right.
Sure, he'll burn you maybe a game or two. I don't think he's the game breaker that is going to make you the difference between being, say, a playoff team and a cup team. But a team that needs a goaltender, of course, you take a shot. But I'm sure that there's going to be a price to pay if you're a division rival trying to get him.
But, you know, again, New Jersey's got other problems. I think Carolina's sole problem is goal. So I think the team that has the best chance of getting him and doing something with him is Carolina over New Jersey. Because I don't know if Merzlikins is going to solve all of the Devils' problems. I think Merzlikins would do a world of good for Carolina.
Agreed.
You ready for the top five?
Oh, I'm writing it down right now on my little notepad here. I'm ready to go. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top Five. Yeah! Number five.
There's been a bit of inconsistency with this team. We talked about it with EJ, but the Dallas Stars, they've won a couple of games in a row, 6-3-1 in their last 10. I think there's something going on with Ottinger that needs to get kind of straightened out, but still they found a way to be able to continue to win and keep pace with the Avalanche. As a matter of fact, they're in first place in the Central because they have played two less games than the Avalanche. So Dallas is in really good control there in the Central Division, and the plus 13 goal differential is outstanding. I like Dallas at five.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to go with a new member of my top five, and that's going to be the Winnipeg Jets, 7-2-1 in their last 10. They have 41 points, and here's somebody who's out of my top five, the Boston Bruins. Now,
how about that?
This could be this is we're going to call this the number five game tonight because Boston plays Winnipeg. If Boston wins, I'll put them back in the top five for today. But right now, because Winnipeg has played better, Boston's 5-2-3 in their last 10. They've lost two overtime games in a row. I am going to go with the Winnipeg Jets at number five, barring tonight's contest.
Number four.
I thought about Winnipeg. I was thinking about having Winnipeg in the top five. But you know who I wanted to throw some love to at four? And you could argue this, but they stumbled a bit, with the loss last night to Nashville. I'm going to throw the Philadelphia Flyers then at number four.
Ooh.
7-1-2 in their last 10. You know, they're kind of I'm not sure how they're doing it. I mean, they don't really have anybody that's having an amazing year, but you brought it up with EJ on Wednesday that they're finally getting some really good goaltending with Carter Hart, and they've got a lot of different players that have been able to contribute there, and I think John Tortorella's doing a terrific, terrific job. Their plus 10 goal differential has been great. They've been outstanding on the road this year at 10-4-2. I've got the Philadelphia Flyers at four.
I have Dallas at four. I have them at four. For all the reasons that you said, I think they're playing really well. Yes, they do have to figure out what's going on with Ottinger, because I do think he's a better goalie than he's been playing as recently, but their offense is great. Matt Matt Duchene has been huge on that team. They are currently have the third most points in the West, and they've played three less games than both Vancouver and Vegas. So I'm going to put Dallas at number four.
Number three.
You know, you could do what I know. I understand you have Boston out, which I do as well, because I was thinking, what do I do with Vegas, Boston? I'm going to keep Vegas in the top five, and I'm going to have them at three. They've lost a couple of games in a row, but still dominant at home, something they were not last year. The goal differential is outstanding at plus 28, second best in the league. I like this Vegas. They've played a lot of games, but so has Vancouver, so they really haven't. Nobody's running away with the Pacific Division at all, so that's going to be a great race down the road. Same with the Central Division, too. The West is going to have a lot of fun with their divisions, but I've got the Vegas Golden Knights at number three.
Yep, I agree with you. I know two-game losing streak, but they're playing very well. They are tied in points with Vancouver. I'm going to keep Vegas at three.
Number two.
This was a tough one because you can make the case that they're number one, the way they bounce back from losing three out of four, but I've been impressed with the New York Rangers. They had four games with Boston and Toronto, you know, two each. They beat Boston twice, bounced back from the 7-3 loss to Toronto with the impressive 5-2 win. The power play's been good, goals in five consecutive games. Trocheck has been outstanding. Lafreniere had a big goal against Toronto. Igor Shesterkin, that national nightmare is over as he had the big wins against Boston and Toronto in this current three-game winning streak. I've got the Rangers at number two.
Yep, Rangers at two. Four less games than Vancouver and Vegas and only 2 points behind, but it's going to be hard for me to project out how they're going to play in those games. They have bounced back much better than they did a week ago when I had them struggling to stay in the top five. They have gone back to what I think is a much more sound structure, and they look better, but I'm going to keep them at number two because I think we have the same number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah! Best offense
in
hockey.
Yeah, let's Selma and Louise this with the Vancouver Canucks as the best team in the NHL. And it's not that awful because they are definitely the best team. They've got 22 wins, just tied with the Rangers for the most in the NHL. 47 points, tied with Vegas for the most in the NHL. The plus goal differential is 43. That's best in the NHL. 7-1-2 in their last 10 despite the overtime loss last night. What can you say? Every week we say the same thing about this Canucks team. They're not going away. They're an outstanding team up and down. It may be you kind of saw it a little bit last year, Anthony. They just kind of ran out of road, but now they've continued where they left off, and they're outstanding, and they deserve to be number one.
Yeah, and I think they have a good goaltending tandem in Demko and DeSmith. I like Demko. I think he could be, if he's not a top 10 goaltender in the league, I think he certainly could be considered to be. DeSmith is a solid backup, and as long as that lasts, they both have goal GAAs under 2.45. That's amazing. Both save percentages over 920. Yeah, and the way that they're scoring, I mean, you could look at it, Don. You know, JT Miller's got 46 points. They've got Besser with 24 goals. They've got, let's see, how many they have? One, two, three, four, five guys with double-digit goals already. Pettersson, Miller, Besser, Mikheyev, and Höglander. Pretty impressive to me. A lot of good plus-minuses in there. Their power play is great. Quinn Hughes is a fantastic young defenseman. Those Hughes brothers, there's something in the water there. Vancouver, number one.
All right, let's close it out with some tweets, shall we?
I think we should.
All right, Brian says, hey, Don and Anthony, happy holidays. Same
happy
to you,
holidays.
Brian. Rangers are in desperate need for a third center. Do you see any way they can get Elias Lindholm would be a perfect fit or no? I think it would be a perfect fit, and certainly Calgary is going to be shipping bodies off. That is somebody that you're going to have to give up a lot for because I think there's a lot of teams that would like him. He can slide up to wing. He can play center. I think there's a very good chance that they're going to be in the hunt for him.
Well, it's interesting. I was looking at a podcast. The name is escaping me now, and I'll have to give them credit. Maybe I'll have to tag the tweet when I find it. Somebody suggested that if Hedl comes back at any point this year, does he get right wing 1 minute? Because, yes, he's a center, but they are missing that other wing. And if they don't go out and get a wing, can they put Hedl at wing and then go get the center? And you take a look at a guy like Lindholm, and that's a guy that would be interesting and would definitely fill that spot that they need. I think what Vincent Trocheck has done this year is nothing short of incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think they expected more from him last year when he came from Carolina, and he was that second-line center type. And the fact that he was on the third line a lot of last year was a lot to do with play. I don't think he was at the level that he is right now. He's playing fantastic. He's got great chemistry with Panarin and Lafreniere. So I would argue that that might even be the top line for the Rangers this year. I know that the Zibanejad-Kreider line is always considered line one, but for me, line one is that Trocheck line. He's great on faceoffs. Yeah, that's somebody that you certainly would consider. One way or the other, Don, a top nine forward has to come into this lineup, whether it's Kako coming back from injury, Hedl returning from what is a scary concussion situation, or getting somebody. But to say that they're in desperate need, I mean, we just labeled them the second best team in hockey in our top five, and they're playing very, very well. I understand everybody's concern, but I don't think Chris Drury has done a very good job of figuring out things that they need, and I wouldn't hate to bring back Frank Vetrano, because the Italian influence is very strong in New York right now. We've got Tommy Cutlets. We'll have Frankie V. We'll have Vinny Trocheck. And then I think everything comes together and everybody gets to eat good veal parm. So I think that would be the good way to go.
You're so right. Desperate need. This team is 2 points away from being the best team in the NHL, and they've got 4 games in hand on the 2 teams that have 47 points. So this you can make the case that the Rangers are the best team in the NHL. We didn't have them there. But it's close. To say desperate is a little ridiculous. David said, Penguins have won 4 of their last 5 and are starting to put things together, a consistent 60-minute effort. Their goaltending has been really solid, and the power play is finally starting to gel. The Metro is a mess, so can't they push into the top three?
I'm going to say no.
Listen, Sidney's been playing. He scored again last night, and I don't think so, because they kind of like, they're part of why the Metro's a mess, right? Because nobody's been able to put it together consistently. Like, everybody's in love with the Islanders right now, the way they've played. Can they maintain that? The same with Philadelphia. Is this for real? We're going to find out. There's a couple of times it looks like it's not, and then they put together a nice effort again. Pittsburgh, the same thing. You can't follow up winning 5 out of 6 and then dropping 4 in a row. So I need to see more. But they're still right there. You know, there's a lot of teams between them and the 2 seed for the wild card. But they've got 33 points. They're only 5 points back at Carolina. And they've got 2 games in hand on Carolina. But the Hurricanes are going to get better.
I agree.
Tampa's going to get better. All right, so even if you tell me Washington's not going to sustain, Devils are a mess, you know, Red Wings still have a lot of work to do, okay. But you've got Tampa sitting on the outside. They're going to be better. Carolina, to me, is going to end up in the top 3 spots in the Metropolitan Division. So the question is, can Pittsburgh be better than the Islanders? Can they be better than the Flyers? Yes, but can they be better than Tampa? I don't think so.
Well, yeah.
So we'll see.
And David said top 3 in the Metro, right?
Yes.
That's what he said. Yeah, I'm going to say no. I think Philly and the Islanders have shown enough now that you'd think that they're going to be able to keep themselves afloat here. I think I agree with you 100%. Carolina is better, and I do think you're going to see something out of the Devils. If they get a goaltender, if they get a defenseman with Dougie out for as long as he is, I think they're going to be better. And yes, the Devil, if you wanted to pit right now the Devils versus the Penguins, I think the Penguins have the edge. But over time, I think the Devils are better. They're deeper, especially offensively. No, I don't see Pittsburgh getting into the top 3 in the Metro. Could they make the playoffs? Sure. There's not many teams right now that you could tell me, Don, where I'd say they can't make the playoffs, other than like maybe Columbus, Ottawa, maybe Buffalo. And then even in the West, too. Like, we keep talking about Edmonton. They're still at 29 points, Don. They went 7-3-0 in the last 10. They're still at 29 points.
Yeah, it's crazy,
so,
right?
And they're 7 points behind Arizona. So, yeah, you know, that's not exactly... And if we're going to say that they have a shot, well, then I guess everybody has a shot.
Yeah, I put them in there. Listen, can anything happen? But you look over recent history, I don't think it's going to. And you mentioned, you know, the matchup with New Jersey. They never seem to be able to beat New Jersey, which is something you're going to have to do when you play them if you're going to want to kind of get back in there. There's so many people, Chris, Matt, Adam, all wanting to talk about Lindy Ruff. It's amazing. Devil fans are in panic mode now, and rightly so. And I think everybody saw that last night, where I think Lindy's name is now getting thrown into the hopper of problems there with the Devils. So
it's
we kind of talked
place.
About that earlier, but I want to acknowledge those people that have tweeted that, yes, it's on our radar as well.
It's a scary place to be, especially, look, if you want to take it to another sport, heck, we've talked about baseball here already. We haven't gotten a Nick reference, and we'll figure that out at some point. But it's like the Giants with Brian Daboll. You think you have the coach, right? And you turned it around with a team that you didn't think was going to be all that great, and you think you have pieces that are going to be able to get you to the next step, and then you have a down year. Are you questioning Brian Daboll? Are you questioning Lindy Ruff? Now, look, Brian Daboll, I think, and I don't know about in your mind, Don, but in my mind, I think he's kind of saved a little bit. He's saved himself, I should say, a little bit because of the way that they've finished out this year.
Right.
Because they are fighting and they are playing hard, and I'm not saying the Devils aren't playing hard, but if the defense doesn't get better, and that's Lindy's specialty, you're going to have to start questioning where you're going and what you're doing.
No,
and if
no
Dougie
question.
Hamilton's the only piece that's going to keep that together, people get hurt. So they're going to have to go out and find a defenseman. Lindy's going to have to change up some stuff, because if the goaltending isn't where it needs to be, you have to play a little bit better in your own zone.
All right, let's close it out with Jimmy, who says, happy holidays, guys. Do you think the NHL would ever consider switching to the bigger rink they use in international play? 100% absolutely never. It's not going to happen, because the reason for that is that in order to do that, unless you're going to blow up every building in the NHL and remake it, you're going to have to give up seats. And then they're not going to do that. They're not going to take out 3-4 rows and a few hundred seats at a premium price to add it. Would it be interesting with all of this skill? How crazy would it be to see that? Yeah, it would be crazy. It'd be fun, but it just would never happen.
I guess my answer is, I guess my question is why. I mean, yes, more skill, sure. I don't think anybody's clamoring for that, especially players. I'm sure the younger guys and the guys internationally, it is an adjustment for them because they have tighter spaces. But I don't think that that's ever going to happen.
No. And again, it's not going to happen. But I appreciate the question for sure. All right. So, guys, we love doing this podcast. It's so much fun to be able to do it.
All the money we make off it, it's unbelievable.
You know, no, but listen, I'm not saying it for, you know, to be patted on the back. But, you know, we do this just because it's fun. I mean, it's on the arm. But we're not looking for charity. We do it. It just shows you how much we love hockey. And Anthony and I don't get a chance to talk about it much on the K Show, although maybe we should, looking at, you know, the stat that we threw out there earlier in the podcast. But we know that there's people that they're dying for it, and we can give you even more in-depth stuff than we could even on the occasion we do talk about it on the Michael K Show. And it's fun. I love Anthony's and respect his opinion. So it's always a joy to talk to him. But life does get in the way, and the holidays and everything. So we will reconvene probably that Wednesday, January 3rd, so we can kind of keep it on schedule. There'll still be games. Of course, the NHL will shut down after the 23rd and come back on the 24th for the holiday. So we won't miss a lot, but we'll get into it. We'll have a Winter Classic to kind of recap and all that. So why don't we reconvene, Anthony, on January 3rd?
By the way, it looks amazing. Did you see the
sky?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Seattle does it right. It's going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. And then when we come back, we'll be in the 24 portion of the 23-24 schedule. We'll be close to 40 games in, so we're almost to the halfway mark. We'll have outdoor games to preview coming up in February. And before you know it, the playoffs will be here. So listen, buddy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Looking forward to talking to you on the 3rd.
Same to you, Don, and same to all the listeners. Really do appreciate this, guys. You don't know how much we do. We love doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. We love being able to interact with you. So thank you so much, and we'll see you in the new year.
You got to talk to you later. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.